First Kings, the 21st chapter. And I want to share with you today from a mindset of what I feel like is creeping so much into not the world, but the Christian world. We are reaching a point to where we are bargaining or debating or trying to figure out a comfortable stance in following God, in following Christ. We are a different society than other countries. Some people ask, why can't America have a great revival? Well, I'll explain why we will never have a revival like other countries. And you can get mad at me if you want to, but I'll explain why. We do not live in a country or a society that understands dictatorship. We do not live in a society that understands kings. We do not live in a society that understands not being in a democracy. We live in a society where we quit when we want to quit, start when we want to start, change our mind, and then we just blame God. Well, I heard a word from God. And we live in this and wonder why we never have anything of any significance happen in our life. It's because of our democracy, because of our democratic mindset, or as the other countries say, our Western culture, our Westernization of our lives. Because of it, we can't understand God being Lord. We can't understand Him being ruler. We can't understand Him being God Almighty in our lives. We think that we are going to debate with Him. Or if we even do what we want to do, He understands. If you've ever gone to another country, it doesn't work like that. It's simply if there is a law that says you cannot, you don't. Well, I remember a short time ago there was a young American that went over to Brazil. And over in Brazil, they made it very clear. You cannot spray paint. You cannot have fun marking something up and think that it's just funny. They made that very clear. Well, this young man decided, him and another couple of buddies, they were going to do it. And they did. You may remember this story. Well, they have a punishment over there for doing that. And it's called caning. And they take your shirt off, and in the middle of the public square, they beat you. That's Brazilian law. Well, it was an uproar. I mean, it was a total uproar. I mean, American embassies were sending reports. You can't do this. You can't treat him that way. You can't. And to no avail, they carried him out in the middle of the court, and they did what they said they were going to do. And it wasn't us saying, well, that kid shouldn't have done that. It was us saying, you shouldn't obey the laws that you've made. We come from a culture where you ought to change what you believe to match me. You ought to adjust it to fit me because I'm different and my circumstances are different. And if you don't like it, I'll get a lawyer that'll prove that I'm this way. Now, I say this because I want to carry you to a story that illustrates God's mentality and how God operates. There are two characters in this story. There's a king by the name of Ahab. Ahab is a king who knows about God, is very familiar with God, should be following God. But Ahab, because of inconveniences, because of other influences, he marries a wife named Jezebel, and she's a bad influence as far as telling him he can get away with stuff, and the laws don't matter to him, and the rules don't matter, and you're the king, you can do what you want to do, and you don't have to listen to anybody. And he has that influence coming in, the power that he has. And all of this is influencing him to believe that I can make decisions even if God has said I can't. Even if God says to do it a certain way, if I see fit, I can do it another way and God will adjust to me. Now, this mentality is not new to us today. We have nearly 90% of America that will tell you, I believe in God, or I believe in some form of God. They'll tell you that I believe in Jesus. They'll tell you, but to no avail does it ever change or impact their life. It doesn't. It's an Ahab mentality. I just simply am deciding each day what I like and do not like, and I'm going through each day doing this. The other person in our story is a man by the name of Naboth. And Naboth is not a rich man. He's not a poor man. He just has a vineyard. He has a livelihood. He has a work ethic. He has a plans and a future and a past. And Naboth is simply about his business, preparing and building and growing each and every day. Now, these two men run into each other by not accident, but just the fact that Naboth's vineyard is connected to Ahab's castle. And so Ahab would look out his window, and when he did, he would see Naboth's grapes and vineyard. And things about vineyards is, I have people that grow grapevines across the yard, and there are certain times of the year, those grapevines are beautiful. They are just gorgeous. When the leaves are on them and all the grapes are hanging from it, it is one of the most beautiful sights. The aroma and everything is awesome. But that is only a very short time of the year. Usually, when you see grapevines, what you see is sticks and just looks like weeds hanging off, and there's no leaves on it, and they're hung up by wire just to keep them off the ground. And you're thinking to yourself, Lord, that is the ugliest looking place that I've ever seen. They need to do something, plant some flowers around, because it's just nothing that looks like dead vines hanging on limbs. But yet at the same time, they have a purpose and a design. Now, the problem is that I become inconvenienced if I am in this world by people who are vineyard people. People who are of the mentality that I want to decide and I want to do and I want to change when I get a desire. They run into problems with people that are vineyard people. They run into problems with people whose job is to produce something or to go somewhere or to leave an inheritance somewhere. Let me show it to you this way. In verse 43 of chapter 20, let's start reading there. And King Ahab of Israel went to his house resentful and sullen and came to where? Now, notice the words here. You'll see this a lot if you go to Walmart. You'll see this in the grocery store or if you're in rush hour traffic. You will meet people who are heavy and... You ever meet people like that? If you're sitting by one, just point them out to me. I want to be able to preach right at them today. Yeah, right here. Here's one right there. He fusses, she fusses. I'm telling you, all it takes is one thing go wrong. One Cheeto land in the car, and I mean, it's like the whole world came undone. They live their life mostly heavy and displeased. Always something is not right. Something is not working right. Now, Ahab has a reason to feel like this, because what did I say? The mentality of Ahab is to hear God tell you to do something, but think that I will end up good even if I don't do it. Well, here's what happens to Ahab. Ahab goes into battle, and Ahab's scared, but God tells him, look, I'm going to deliver this people into your hand, but I want you to kill the kings. I want you to get rid of them. They are bad, and I do not want them in the presence of this earth anymore. And so Ahab is fine. If you'll deliver them. Well, when he won the battle, he got to thinking about it. Why kill them when I can get tribute from them and I can look big in front of them? So God had said one thing, and Ahab decided to do another. Now Ahab is coming home thinking he's in good shape. But God speaks to one of the prophets and says, you catch up with Ahab and you tell him what I feel about this and what I'm fixing to do about this. And so the prophet turns to one of the men beside him and he says, strike me. So he does. He strikes him. He wounds him. He puts a cover over his head where he looks like he's all dirty and nasty and looks like he's been in the battle and in the fight. And he goes and sits by the edge of the road. There by the edge of the road, Ahab is coming. He's done made a decision. He's big dog now. I've got people going to pay me taxes every single year. I did it so much better than God could have done it. I am so much more wiser than God. I mean, why read a Bible when you can make decisions on your own? Why simply hear what God says to do when you can make better decisions? And so this Ahab now is traveling back. And as he does, the servant yells out to him, King, I've got a question. I've got a question. The king now is pompous and he figures he can answer any question. Stops the caravan. When he stops the caravan, he says to him, What's your question? He said, King, I've got a problem. He said, while I was in the battle, you can see my wound, and while I was in the battle, another man was captured by one of the soldiers. And he looked over at me and said, keep this man and do not lose him. If you lose him, you'll have to give your life for him. Well, the battle was going on. I had so many other things on my mind, King. You know, I was busy out there. It was all out of fighting going on and stuff going on. And I just lost track of the guy. And I lost him. What should be done to me? And the king squares his shoulders and said, you should die. You made an oath. You didn't live up to it. You should die. What a wonderful answer. He takes back the robes and he says, King, and he recognizes the prophet. He says, you're the man that was told by God exactly how to do it. He said he was going to put him in your hands and you were to secure him. But you let him go. So according to your own words, King, you shall be wiped off the face of the earth. According to your own judgment, you yourself will die. Now that'll break your heart, won't it? Now you understand that last verse of chapter 20. You understand when it says he went back to Samaria with a heavy heart and displeased. I heard on the news today, and it's always interesting through the world if you just... News has two things it does really well. It always proves the same pattern if you just stick around long enough. And this morning, this singer who is multi-millionaire out of England, whose name is Seal, and Heidi Klum, who is always on television, she's a top model, she does all these different things, a rock star singer and a top model. Man, you couldn't pick a better marriage, could you? I'm talking about two of them. If you was a guy looking for a wife, wouldn't you want a model? I mean, a top model. I mean, one of the... And if you were a girl wanting to be with somebody that was the it, wouldn't you want to be with a rock star? Somebody who was popular, and they got their wishes. They're now entering into their seventh and eighth year of marriage. Had three kids. They were so committed to each other that this is what they decided to do. Every year they go and renew their vows. They have a wedding service every year to go back and remind themselves of their commitment and to their... The news hit today. It's over. After 8 years, three kids... I mean, the world is so smart. The problem is, I can already tell them what their problem is. Now, I'm not very smart. I'm not as smart as they are, and I don't wear the clothes they do, and I'm not on TV. But I can tell you they've hit desperation. I can tell you disenchantment's gone. And I don't care how many flights and trips you take to Aspen and ski together, honeymoon ain't coming back. And now you've got to decide whether you're willing to die and actually become one. So that's not complicated. But to a world that already knows all the answers, it seems mind-boggling. Isn't it amazing sometimes we sit here and we see things so simply as Christians? It's like, just don't do that. Well, it's easy for you to say. No, just don't do that. We meet so many Ahabs in our life, people that they're determined to do it their way and still try to find the results that they want. And when they don't find the results they want, they're displeased and they're heavy. And here they are with millions of dollars and unhappy. Here they are with billions and can go anywhere and hit a plane. In fact, they own their own planes, could get on them today and go anywhere. If they wanted to go skiing, they could go to the most richest place in the world and go skiing today, but yet not happy. Because listen to me, beyond all of our understanding and beyond all of our knowledge, God is always right. This is the hardest concept for us to grasp in America. beyond all of our knowledge, beyond all of our wisdom, beyond all of our education, beyond no matter what degree you got it and where you got it, God is always right. Now, when you do that, now you're in trouble. Because when you walk up to an educated person who's been married four times and can't keep off the alcohol, but they're so smart, they know all the answers. When you walk up to that person and tell them that God is always right, you're in for a fight. You're in for a battle. They'll tell you when you go to college, these educated people, listen, the first thing we don't want to hear is anything about God. We already know better than that. We live in a society of Ahabs. Let me explain it to you this way. Maybe you catch it from this point. We become an inconvenience to them. And then all of a sudden now different phrases and things begin to happen to us. They have to do something. The world has to do something to try to change or to try to adjust the way it is. Because Ahab looks out his window every day and sees a vineyard. And he's tired of looking at a vineyard. And he's tired of watching Naboth work out there, and he's tired of watching progress, and he's tired of just watching everyday life, and he wants an herb garden. I always like that. Naboth has a vineyard. Ahab wants an herb garden. It makes sense. Naboth is producing something that will sustain him, something that will last, something that produces fruit, something that requires work, but yet at the same time gives reward. Ahab is wanting something he can plant and let it grow wild, and then just enjoy the fragrance of it, but never receive or get anything from it. And when we look at our world today, that's what we have. We have people that are willing to sell. We have people that are willing to give. We have people that are willing to trade their bodies, their mind, their lives, their anything for just something that smells good for a moment. You can look at them and say, look, hon, don't you know that's not going to work? They already know that. They already have the prophecy over them, that the same prophecy that Ahab has, that you know what, this isn't going to work. You're going to die in the middle of this. And they've got heavy hearts and they've got long faces. But yet at the same time, they keep pressing on. Why? Because I'm willing to sell out my future, my past, and all that I have for something that'll smell good for just a moment, for something that'll just seem fresh for just a moment. Maybe I'll just get a whiff of something. I know it won't last. I know it won't do anything, but I'd rather have that than to produce something, because producing requires effort. And when I see people that produce, it annoys me. It bothers me. Maybe you've heard some of these phrases spoken about you, or definitely if you press into Christian life, you'll hear these phrases. Phrases like, you're ignorant. Anybody believe in God, just ignorant. Phrases like this, you're just weak-minded. I mean, only weak-minded people need a God. You're just too weak to be able to stand on your own feet. Maybe you hear the word intolerant used. You Christians, y'all just so intolerant. Y'all won't accept nothing. Or maybe you've been called a homophobe. I love that one. How in the world can I be a homophobe? I'm not scared of homosexuals. I'm not running from them. But it's not the fact that homophobe like you think, like we're scared of them or we don't. No, it's the fact that we won't accept. And that's where the rub comes. Because understand now, we either are going to fall in a Naboth mentality or we're going to fall into an Ahab mentality. Let me show it to you this way. Notice how Naboth and Ahab have the conversation. Go with me to verse 1. Let me show you how this process is going to work itself out. A vineyard versus an herb garden. A vineyard that's going to produce versus an herb garden that doesn't. Listen to how it goes. Now Naboth, the Jezreelite, had a vineyard in Jezreel close beside the palace of Ahab, the king of Samaria. And after these things, Ahab said to Naboth, give me your... This is the first process by which you'll have to deal with the world. They're going to come to you, and this is the first thing they're going to say. Listen, I want you to give me your vineyard. Your vineyard now, understand, represents your past, everything that you've learned and grown in and become. It represents who you are right now in your work and in your life. And it represents your future. It represents in the spiritual world, it is the power of God in your life. It is the presence of God in your life. It's the understanding of God in your life. Not a democratic understanding, but a king understanding. I have an understanding about God, that He is God alone, that He is King Almighty, that He rules and reigns. I follow Him, He doesn't follow me. I read my Bible and I obey it. Why? Because He is God and I am not. He is the ruler and I am not. I am but a servant. When you read your New Testament, you might even hear Paul say, I'm a slave. You might even hear him say that I am a bond servant. Why? Because we in this modern age, we like to call ourselves kings and call ourselves this and that and we're that. I want to tell you what you are around God. You are nothing more than a servant to the Almighty. You are nothing more than one that obeys His will. You are nothing more than one that lives according to His decision that you get to breathe today and you won't live any longer or go any further. You need to get it through your democratic mindset that you are not in charge and not running the show. You are simply a servant to the Almighty God. When you understand that, then it establishes you. So if a homosexual comes up and says, look, you need to accept me. I do accept you, but we got a problem. God doesn't accept you. And since God doesn't accept you, I can't accept you. I'm a servant of God. It's not my decision. I'm not the one that made the choice. I'm telling you, God said He don't like thieves, and He don't like liars, and He don't like cheaters, and He don't like adulterers, and He don't like people that do certain things. And He says, listen, don't hang around them. Don't accept them. Don't tolerate them. Don't deal with them. It doesn't mean I dislike you. It just means I can't accept the sin that's in your life. God won't accept that sin, and I can't accept that sin. It has nothing to do with me not loving you. I love you, and I'll do anything for you. If you don't believe it, ask me. I'll mow your grass. I don't care where you're from. I don't care what your lifestyle is. I don't care if you swap wives and husbands. I'm still going to love you. But don't ever tell me that I can change my mentality on what God accepts as right and wrong. That's not mine to give. I can't look at you and tell you I all of a sudden have changed my mind and I accept this. I can't go into a boardroom one day like some denominations have done and decide that we're just going to have gay pastors and lesbian pastors and different things. I can't do that. Why? Because it's not a boardroom. I can decide this. I can't bring five guys like myself in and make a decision. It's God Almighty who makes the decision. I'm just a servant and a follower. I am one that is led, not the one that leads. When you understand that, it's going to put you in an awkward position. I know we don't like that. Because we're going to run into somebody at work that we know is cheating on their husband and we just want to grin and like, well, you know, God under... No, you got to look at them and say, look, I love you, but you're going to die and go to hell. Do you understand God will not accept that? Well, the question is, do you really believe in God? Let me help you here. Most of our understanding of God in this day and time is not a belief in God. It's just simply a social gathering. Because to settle the fact that you actually believe in God means that you're going to have to follow Him regardless. Think about that. If you actually believe there's a God who made this universe, a God who sent His own Son to die on a cross so that you would be pardoned from your sins if you accept Him as Lord and Savior, that when He returns, like He says, in the clouds, that you're going to have to face Him and mom can't be there, dad can't be there, your wife won't be there, your boss won't be there, just you. And He says you've got to give an account for every idle word, every idle thing that you did, you must give an account for it. You don't think if you really believe that it would change your lifestyle? I don't care what it was in my life. There are things in my life. Because somebody will say, well, I can't help the way I am. Let me explain this to you. There's not a person that I ever meet that's not a thief that I don't believe with all my heart that they have a desire within them to steal. There's not a person that I ever meet that cheats on their wife or husband that I don't believe with all my heart has a genuine desire to do it. Don't even get me started with gays or lesbians, any of that. Because I believe for a man to kiss another man, you got to really have a desire. You can't just wake up one day and just, I think I'm going to do this. Can we agree? Yeah, I've had some bad days waking up sometimes sore and painful. But you know, I ain't ever had a day where I woke up to that degree. So if you're wanting me to say, well, it's just sin. It's just no. I believe within that person there is a desire inside of each one of us. There is a desire. There's some ladies in here. Your desire would be if it wasn't no getting caught, you'd cheat on your husband left and right. It's a desire. There's some of you in here that would cheat, would steal, would embezzle, would do a lot of things if you knew there wasn't a God to answer to. Why? Because Paul said, as long as I'm in this flesh, I'm going to wrestle with this flesh. I'm not talking to you that all of a sudden you just all of a sudden get out of the flesh. That's junk. When you meet those kind of people, just walk away because they're hiding something. And when it blows up and hits the 6 o'clock news, you're going to learn that pastor wasn't as straight as he thought he was. He was getting on his massages. Yeah. I can tell you what his problem is. His problem is he had a genuine inside of him desire to do something wrong. And here's what his option was. I could either avoid it, hide it, excuse it, or I can take it to God and surrender it. You wouldn't want to know some of the stuff I would do if God wasn't a hold of my life. I've always told Elise, I'm a messed up individual on the inside. That's why I keep it all under the blood every single day. Why don't you do it? Because there's a God. And in my life, I wake up every morning and I'm His servant. And I serve Him with all of my heart, with all of my soul, and all of my mind, and all of my strength, regardless if anybody likes it or doesn't like it. Well, you're just intolerant. You're just homophobe. You're this. You're that. No, I'm just godly. If you got a problem with me, it's because I'm going to be godly. I want to live for God, and I want to serve God, and I want to meet God one day, and I want to hear Him say to me, well done, my son, my heir to the throne. No. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Don't miss that. When you meet Him, you'll meet Him as a servant meeting God. When you're rewarded one day, you'll be rewarded as a servant. We've got to get it in our culture that we don't decide what's right and what's wrong. We don't decide what morally we can accept and not accept. I know that seems. I know some of you are going to turn me off and you're never going to listen to me again. I know it. I know this sermon this morning is hard. And I'm telling you, we're raising our kids and we're raising our culture and we're raising our churches in a mindset that we make decisions on what we believe and don't believe. We decide what's right and not right. And yet the Bible screams out every single day, you can't do that. You can't. Well, but God loves us and He'll just tolerate us anyway. That ain't what it says. That's not what it says at all. It doesn't even talk like that. It doesn't even speak to that degree. I get tired of this mindset of if somebody believes in God, it don't require anything. Well, don't go to the Jerusalem Council if you do, because when the Gentile church came in, was there just simply a decree that said, okay, if the Gentiles confess their sins, they're saved? Peter, all the disciples, you know what they decided? They said, if they are genuine in their belief, then these are the things that they will do. Yeah, but they confessed their sins. Tough. But they said, I'm sorry. Wow. That ain't the question. The question is, will He be Lord of your life? Can he reign and rule the throne of your life? Is he bigger than the bottle that you drink? Is he bigger than the dope that you smoke? Is he bigger than the lies that you tell or the lifestyle that you keep excusing? Is he so big that you run to him with everything you've got and say, God, if it's not acceptable to you, I don't want it. I want to be all that you want me to be. I know this is hard, but guys, this is the reason most people can't move forward. And this is why most of us in our culture, we do church and we get all excited and get all goosebumpy, but our lives are pitiful messes. Because we don't understand our Western culture of just quit and start and start and quit and pop and putt. We miss it. Naboth understood it. Ahab came to him and said, give me your vineyard. I'm the king. You ought to give me your vineyard. Just to be recognized, just so you could tell people, I know the king. Naboth says, no. Ahab says, well, then let me buy it from you. No. And I love what Naboth tells him. Even after Ahab looks at him and says, let's make a trade. I'll trade you something for him. If you're in this world today, Christian, then the world is either going to demand that you quit believing what you believe. They're either going to try to buy you out with some amount of popularity or some amount of something. Or they're going to try to trade it for something that I see my young people, I see middle-aged, I see my older do it every single day. They're either swapping for something, trading for something, selling themselves for something, and thinking that God somewhere will be found at the end. But I wish we could say what Naboth would say. I wish when we're confronted by those issues. Look, and Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord does what? See, I'm not looking at you today and telling you, well, Tim Lott can't do that. It's not Tim Lott. I'm not looking at you today and saying, well, Tim, I tell you what, one thing about Tim Lott, he don't believe that. It's not about Tim Lott. It's about what God has already decreed as right and wrong. Naboth looked at King Ahab and he says, the Lord forbids it of me. I like that. You know, there ain't a whole lot of intellectual people that can handle that. You look at somebody that's wanting to get divorced and they'll come to me and they'll say, Pastor, is it all right? I mean, I got this. And I just look at, the Lord forbids it. Can I do this? The Lord forbids it. Well, that sounds pretty strong. It's as strong as you can imagine. The Lord says no. The Lord says you can't. The Lord says stop. The Lord says change. Not because I'm trying to hurt you. Naboth didn't serve God because he was trying to hurt him. Notice what Naboth says next. And you'll see deeper into why he cannot. That I should give the what? That I should give the inheritance of my father to thee. Verse 4. And Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased. We've heard that before, haven't we? Because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, I will not give thee an inheritance of my father. And he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would not eat bread. Can I tell you why the world is so messed up? It's simple. They have no inheritance. You cannot sell your inheritance. You cannot sell your future and then think somewhere down the road somebody's going to give it back to you. When I look at my young people, you can't sleep around like a slut for 8 years and then all of a sudden Mr. Wright's going to walk in the room and propose to you. Young man, you can't go around and act like Casanova and think that when you get married one day that you're going to be satisfied with that one woman. What you start waking up in your life today is what will continue to be woke up in your life. You don't realize that, but you're selling your inheritance. If there's a key reason why you wait until you're married, because when that consummation is made, all of a sudden that becomes a mentality. I can't tell you how many people, young men, I deal with every single day of my life and every single week where flashbacks and thoughts. Do you know that they love that woman they're married to? But the problem is, so much has passed and so much has been seen, and we as men are visual creatures, and we have to fight that every single day. That's why the plan of Proverbs says, you leave that asleep as long as you can, because when you wake that up, you can't put that asleep again. I don't like that. I don't care. It's the truth. I'd rather tell you on the front end, do it God's way. Yeah, but it's hard and you don't have as much fun. Yeah, but it's going to bring an inheritance. It brings an inheritance that the world cannot look forward to. Ahab goes back home. He gets all sold up and goes to bed. If you was a worldly person, you'd probably got you some depression medicine about right now. They would have probably called him bipolar by about right now. They would have probably said he had emotional issues and, you know, he probably had ADD or he was some type of disease or something he had, and we'd have come up with something. We wouldn't have looked at him and said, you know, Ahab, you know your problem. You done messed up. You should have done what God told you to do and your life would be a lot better. That's his problem. People who have emotional problems, I got an answer for that. The Bible says he gives perfect peace for those whose mind is stayed on him. It'll save you a lot of money. You say, brother, you don't know anything about that. I was a manic depressant. I'm not talking about something I don't know. I can't tell you how many bridges I drove by and thought about running into them. Don't tell me about thinking of suicide, thinking of hurting yourself, thinking of ending it all. I've been there. If I'd have went to a doctor at that time, he'd have told me I was so chemically imbalanced, they'd have put me on so many different drugs, they ain't no telling where I'd be today. I had a second option, and his name was God. He said, if you'll come to my Lord Jesus Christ, my Son, if you'll come to Him and surrender all and lay all that depression at His feet and lay all that anxiety at His feet and lay all of that there, you know what, Tim? Not only will I deliver you from it, but I'll give you an inheritance. I'll give you a future. I'll give you something that nobody else can give you. It was a great deal. Let me wrap this up. There's too much in this story. I need about 3 weeks. I'm skimming. Verse 16. Jezebel now has done killed Naboth. That seems like a sad end of the story, doesn't it? No. I'm going to tell you something about when you live for God. Even when the world mocks you and turns against you and ridicules you and kills you in the best way they can't get rid of the stain. Look at the person beside you and say, I'm a stain on some people. Yeah. I tell people all the time, some of the worst mistake you ever made is bring somebody here. You sat here in one service. Some of you sat here today for one service, and now your whole world, you're going to be mad at me for the next 4 years. You don't believe that? I have people that have been 10 years. They came for about a short period of time, did not like changing. I just want somebody to tell me I'm going to heaven and I keep doing what I'm doing. And man, I didn't preach that at all, and all of a sudden it was like, I'll tell you what, if I meet them today, they're going to turn and go the other direction. And I've never done anything to them. I love them to death. I do anything for them. It has nothing to do with that. It's a simple fact that, you know what? I don't like that. I don't want you telling me what's going on. I don't want you to say any of that. And so in this mindset, you're going to get killed sometimes. just like Ahab, or just like Naboth. But I want you to notice what happens. Let me clear this up. Jezebel wrote the city leaders of Jezreel, told them to make up letters, call a fast, and when Naboth is at the top, have a couple people accuse him of cussing and have him stoned to death. That was what they did. Notice now the city is what? Jezreel. He is a Jezreelite. Now here's what the prophet comes and tells him. When Ahab heard that, he arose and went down to the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite to take possession of it. Then the word of the Lord came unto Elijah the Tishbite, saying, "Arise, go and meet Ahab, king of Israel in Samaria." He is where? Whose vineyard is he in? I like that. God says, listen, he's in Naboth's vineyard. I don't care what contracts they have written down there. That's Naboth's vineyard. And Ahab is in Naboth's vineyard, where he has gone to possess it. Say to him, thus saith the Lord, have you killed and also taken possession? Thus says the Lord, in the place where the dogs lick the blood of Naboth, shall the dogs lick your blood, even yours. And Ahab said to Elijah, have you found me, O my... And he answered, I have found you. I love that. Because you have sold yourself to do evil in the sight of the Lord. Ahab, a short time later, he will be in battle and he will get shot. An arrow will pierce him. You know where he ends up? Jezreel. There, among the stones in the courtyard of Jezreel, they wash off the chariot where Ahab and the dogs lick the blood. He also says that in Jezreel, Jezebel will meet hers too. The dogs will eat everything on her, but they won't touch her hands and they won't eat her feet. It's a short time later, a new king comes along. Now remember what she did. She told the leaders of Jezreel, make up a false accusation. She brought them in to doing her sin. It's the same groups. It's the same city that when the king looks up later and says, bring Jezebel down to me. Throw her out. That the same city grabs her and throws her out the window, and she hits the ground with a splat. The dogs eat her completely, except for her hands. They won't touch her hands, and they won't touch her feet. Even a dog wouldn't touch it. Do you understand how God operates? Listen to me in this place today. You have to have a mindset of this right here. You can't have what's mine. You've got to have that mindset if you're going to serve God. Because in this world, in our world, it's all about what I can trade, what I can sell, and what I'm willing to give up. And we, in their presence, are vineyard people. We stand in the middle growing grapes. We stand in the middle growing our children and growing our future. That's who we are. And when the world sees it, they can't stand it. They can't stand it. Because all that they want, day in and day out in their life, is just the smell. That's why we like American Idol. That's why we like The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. That's why we as Christians hoard the TVs and the radios, listening to junk and watching junk. You know why? Because we like it too. We like the smell of it. Boy, did you see that? Even though we know with all of our mind and our heart, it'll never produce not one grape. Some of the hardest conversations I have with my kids, I have three, is simply this. Guys, we can't do that. Guys, we're not going to watch that. Why? Because there's nothing good in it for you. Even books that Taylor is one of my best, he's my reader. I'm constantly trying to find books for him that help him move forward and not just books that just Stephen King novels that he can just have entertainment. Why? Because in our lives we have to decide who we are. In this room today we have to decide, are we vineyard people? Do we live our life looking for an inheritance? Or are we gardeners? Herb growers? No, we can show up to church. We can smell good. But let's be honest, when we leave, Pastor, I wouldn't want you to know what we produce. I wouldn't want you to know what's actually growing. Guys, God sent me by today to tell you that don't let the enemy talk you out of, buy you out of, or trade you out of the inheritance that God has for you. I know because I'm living proof of it. I'm not here today by accident. I'm not married to, for me, the most beautiful woman in the world for the last 20 years by accident. When I was 15 years old, I made a decision when I started dating that I'd wait for that girl. There were a lot of moments where I thought, Lord, have mercy. She better hurry up and come along. I tell my kids all the time, don't ever marry the woman you can live with the rest of your life. Don't ever marry that woman. You keep holding out until you meet that woman you can't live without the rest of your life. That's a totally different woman. It's a totally different man. You'll know that person when you meet them. Because if you've spent the time to build the characteristics that you're looking for, then they'll meet those characteristics. I can't tell you that it's not difficult. I can't tell you there aren't moments you cry on your pillows, and I can't tell you there are moments you feel like everybody kills you. But you have to keep going. All I can tell you is that there's an inheritance that God has promised. And if you want the inheritances that God has for your life, then you have to be willing to make Him God. You have to be willing to make Him Lord. You have to be willing to follow Him. This world won't like it. They'll call you every kind of name in the world. But that's okay. You'll make it just fine. Will you bow your heads? Father,